ममैवांशो जीवलोके जीवभूतः सनातनः मनःषष्ठानीन्द्रियाणि प्रकृतिस्थानि कर्षति। सो मम एव अंशो, अ लिटिल पार्ट ऑफ मी, अंश मीन्स फ्रॉम माय लिटिल पार्ट ऑफ मी, जीव लोके इन दिस वर्ल्ड, इन दिस लोक, इन दिस वर्ल्ड, जीव भूत, इट बिकम्स अ जीव. वॉट इज अ जीव? इट इज द इंडिविजुअल कंसिस्टिंग ऑफ माइंड, इंटेलेक्ट एंड वासनास, दैट इंडिविजुअल. बट द पार्ट ऑफ मी इज सनातन, बट आई एम इटर्नल, बट द जीव इज नॉट इटर्नल. What does the jiva do? What does the individual do? Mana shashthani indriyani. There are six sense organs. You said there are only five, you know, eyes, ears, tongue, skin, and, smell. But it says the mind is the sixth sense organ. Mana shashthani indriyani. So using the six organs, the eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue, and the mind, Prakriti sthani karshati, it attracts the prakriti, it functions in the world, experiences the whole universe. This individual with the eyes he can see, with the ears he can hear, nose he can smell, tongue he can taste, skin he can touch. So this whole world is experienced by the individual, including his mind. So the five sense organs and the mind, which is the sixth sense, together it experiences that. So as we said, the intellect needs ideas. The intellect can only work in the field of ideas. So Krishna is giving us more and more ideas. Just as a car can only move on land, a plane can only fly in the air, a boat can only go in the water, except in America, a boat sometimes does go on the road. But anyway, basically, so the intellect can only work in the world of ideas. So Shri Krishna is giving us different ideas of who this individual is and what is rebirth. So as we said, the body gets perished. The body gets burnt or cremated or buried. And the om, the consciousness, nothing happens. But the individuality, the jiva called mind, intellect and vasanas, this packet, again after death, takes on a new body, goes to higher worlds and then, or lower worlds depending on heaven or hell, and then when your time comes, you again take a new body, and then the consciousness functions through this body. But they say a part of me. Now this consciousness is partless, it cannot be divided. So why does Krishna say ansha, one small part of me? What does he mean by part? It is like saying that electricity will say, I am everywhere in the whole world, but a part of me is functioning through this bulb and became a light. A part of that electricity, or a part of it is functioning through the fan or through the clock. So even though electricity cannot be divided, but a portion of that electricity functioning through the bulb makes it light, through the fan makes it fan, through the clock makes it clock, through the refrigerator or the air conditioner. So, even though electricity is all over, but a part of the electricity is functioning. So, similarly, when Krishna says a part of me, it does not mean that her consciousness is different from her. It's not divided. It is one consciousness, but appears in different individuals as, you know, Diana or Carrie or Anil or whatever name I have, whether I'm a male or a female, or an animal or a bird or a plant or a dog or a cat or a flower. So that same consciousness is there in all, and that is one has to constantly remember. A person who spiritually evolved sees the consciousness within, then he sees consciousness everywhere. Then there is a spontaneous love for all animals, birds, plants, fish. In fact, I have mentioned his name before, that Muniji who used to come to Rashmi and Bharti's house, Rashmi Shah. He hasn't come for a few years because of his health. But he was such an evolved soul, he never even walks on grass. He will avoid it. You know, if he has to cross and there is a grass, you know, he'll walk the long way He says, why? Because there's life. I don't want to. So the point is that these evolved souls see life everywhere, and they have spontaneous love for all beings, all animals, all birds, all plants, even grass. They feel that stepping on grass, I'm hurting it. So that kind of understanding, it comes. That's what he says. A part of me has become this whole universe, and everything is illumined by that consciousness. Jiva Bhuta, and has become this Jiva, and uses the mind and the sense organs. Now the mind plays a very, very important role in the sense organs. Because first of all, the mind controls the sense organs, right? Like when the message goes from the eye that I'm seeing a dangerous person coming, and I know this person is a criminal and he's carrying a gun, immediately the message goes to the mind, and the mind understands that, and the mind presents it to the intellect, and the intellect says, yeah, I know this person, he's a criminal, he is carrying a gun, let us run or call the police or close the door. Or if you see a friend, a long lost friend, I see the friend, and the mind, remember, this is my dear friend, then immediately you open the door and you go embrace him. So the mind is the one that controls the sense organs. That's why the mind is said to be the sixth sense. But the mind has a lot of other important roles to play. That's why it says that using the mind, the individual functions. Prakriti sthani karshati. It attracts all the prakriti. Like with my eyes, the message goes into my mind of things I see. With my ear, whatever music I hear or whatever talks I hear. With my nose, I smell. With my tongue, I taste. With my skin, I touch. So these senses all are constantly feeding information. It's like they're bringing, information, just as like there is a central area where all the salesmen are sending in reports, sales figures and this and that and changes and new requirements. So the central office is collecting data and then planning for next year what products we should make, how we should. So similarly, the mind is constantly fed with all these impulses, and then the mind is then constantly feeding the intellect, and then it's planning on what my next step should be, how we should go. So that's why they say that the mind is a very important part of the sensory system. The other thing is that people who identify with the mind and with the senses, then their whole life is spent in eating, seeing, acquiring, possessing. So they say, use your senses wisely. You need to see, hear, smell, taste, touch. But do not get too caught up. We go to the mall and you start looking, and then soon, before you know it, you're inside the store and buying things you don't need. So, see, there are so many things to see in the world, but I don't have to get fascinated with everything. I don't have to get attracted. I don't have to get attached. I have to turn my attention inward. So those who live at the level of the senses and the mind, at the level of the jiva, are bound, they are caught. But those who live at the level of the spirit and say, I am the spirit, then they function in the same world as you and I do, but they are not bound, they are not caught. They enjoy the world without getting caught, because they know this world is not my goal. This is not my ultimate destination. Tad dham paramam mama. My abode is something else. That is where I have to reach. And the mind is also a very important part of your immune system. If you think about it, there might be 9 people, 10 people who are exposed to that same illness. Now, 9 of them fall prey, 1 doesn't. Or 9 of them don't get sick and 1 does get sick. How does that happen? You might say, well, it is the immunity, it is the extrinsic factors. And medical science only talks about extrinsic factors. Okay, there are bacteria causing disease, so give them antibiotics, destroy the bacteria, do this, do that. But if you look at psychology, look at spirituality, the mind has a very important role to play. A mind that is full of love, full of compassion, full of kindness, its immunity goes up. But if your mind is all depressed and you are stressed out and you say, oh, I'm sad, then what will happen? You will become more prone to, and people who have gone through major depression not only get illnesses, even they become more prone to cancer. And there have been instances of a person getting sick from an illness or even cancer manifesting in a person who is extremely depressed or extremely stressed, or a mind that is full of anger. You know, if your mind is angry all the time and you are upset, then what happens? You are more prone to get high blood pressure, you're prone to get heart disease, you're prone to get migraine, stress ulcers. So the mind has a very important role to play in health and in disease. And you know, people say, oh, he did that thing, so I'm angry. You may be angry, but that person may not even know that you are angry. Or even if you experience that person for half an hour, you shout at him, you have expressed, but he is already gone. But you, for the next 24 hours, you are carrying that anger. The best is forgive and forget. It's okay. If he did something wrong, let his karmas take care of it. By me being angry, anger is one of the worst emotions, because all it is doing is burning you inside. Again, that Muniji who comes, he used to say the same thing. He says, gussa mat karo. Because when you get angry with somebody, you may be temporarily to correct a child or something, you may need to speak to them. But if you keep that anger inside and keep on cultivating it and growing it, all it is doing is hurting you. The guy whom you're angry at may not even know you're angry, or if he's already gone and he's left. But 2 years ago, he said that, you know, and I'm still angry. Whom are you hurting? Yourself. So be very careful, because the mind is something you need to nourish, you need to protect. Don't let your mind subject to anger and greed and jealousy and hatred and arrogance and pride and all. Just fill your mind with love and compassion, love for all, forgiveness. Somebody hurt me, it's okay, I forgive him. Let his karmas take care of it. You know, there's a karma data, there is a, who will give him whatever he deserves. No good or bad karma goes no good karma goes unrewarded, no bad karma goes unpunished. Why should I get myself all worked up? I just forgive him and let him go. Does not mean you become a doormat, but just in your mind have the peace and say, okay, I am fine, you know, I have forgiven, I am. So the mind is very, very important in our evolution. In our spiritual growth, you have to shelter the mind. That's what we do in meditation. We quieten the mind and fill it with positive thoughts of love and compassion. That's why when we people pray to Goddess Lakshmi in Diwali, and people pray for dollars and cents. I say, don't pray for dollar, pray for inner wealth. Oh, Mother Lakshmi, give me inner wealth of peace and compassion and love and all. That is more important. You know, that is what you really need. You may have all the money in the world, but if your mind is agitated, angry, disturbed, you can't even eat properly, you can't even sleep. What use is that? So what you really need is inner love and compassion. And the mind is the one that is going to make you evolve. Because they say that what you think, you become. If you think I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, you will create a happy atmosphere. If you think I'm miserable, I'm miserable, what will happen? You know, you'll create misery around you. So, in fact, there was that movie Secret, if you, all of you might have seen it. If you haven't, you should see it, where it says that what you think, you become. And we all are products of our mind. Not only that, but the kind of body you get. When I leave this body and I perish, and then when I get my next body, it will depend on my thoughts, on my vasanas, what kind of body I get, what kind of parents I get, based on my karma. So they say, think positive, fill your mind with love. Like the creatures who were swimming in the ocean, right? One of them decided, I'm tired of swimming in the ocean, I need to walk on the land. So in his mind, that fish must have decided, I'm going to walk. And that's how, you know, humans, that's how animals came on earth. One of the monkeys who was walking on four legs, I'm not going to walk on four, I want to walk on two, I'm going to stand up. So in the mind, when the right idea comes, that is how the individual evolves. So that's why he says, mana shashthani indriyani, protect your mind, fill it with positive thoughts, and use the mind to evolve, not to go downward, not to become a miserable creature, but to become a happy individual, So that is why he says, using the mind and the sense organs, a person attracts whole prakriti. So I attract whatever. I am responsible for making my own world. It's not my parents, not my spouse, not my children, not even God. I am responsible for creating my own world. Whether I want to make it a happy world or I want to make it a miserable world, I am responsible. So there is nobody else to blame. That's what this beautiful, beautiful verse is. Did you have any questions?
Oh, yeah. When I that injustice in the world.
Right.
So, you see,
you have to do what is right, but without the inner anger. He didn't have anger or hostility. Like Mahatma Gandhi, he never had anger or hostility towards the British, even though the British did so much to him. So have love and compassion. But yeah, you have to be firm. You have to stand on your principles for your rights. But if like, you know, like what they're saying, you know, like the, what's happening in Ferguson and all, where the blacks are protesting against, that is good. But when they say in retaliation, we have to kill policemen, then you are transferring that movement into hatred, and then you are actually negatively affecting that movement. But if you peacefully protest, this is not right, you know, that black men are being killed by the police, that is good. But when they start killing the, you know, policemen, and then it becomes a vicious cycle of killing each other. So you are just, it's like you are returning hatred for hatred. Martin Luther King never said that we should kill the people. He said we should peacefully protest and demand our rights. Yes. I mean, you can have peaceful energy too. Yeah, peaceful energy where you're calm, but you know, it's where you know what you want. We're not saying that you should not ask for your rights or you should, you know, let people trample all over. But without having inner disturbance, your mind inside should be calm, should be peaceful, and but you know, not like, you know, breaking, you know, looting stores and setting fire. Those are wrong. That's anger expressing against some innocent person. But peacefully to protest and demand the rights, I don't see anything wrong with that. Yeah, I think there's when it extends, it becomes violent, or becomes when you're returning anger with anger, then all it is doing is feeding more anger. Yeah, so I should be calm, because if another person is angry, if I'm also become angry, then all it does is provoke the situation. But if I calmly, you know, handle that situation, then the person may calm down. And even if he doesn't calm down, remains angry, at least I have not been, it's not affected my peace of mind. The mind has to be very jealously protected. Don't let the mind become disturbed. Let the mind become peaceful and constantly do that. And, you know, I think assertiveness for your rights is nothing wrong with that. Again, as long as there is no anger, there is no hatred, you know, it's done with you know, yeah, it's to be firm. We are not saying that you should not be firm or you should be just a limp rag. You know, what you need, yeah, you have to, but do it peacefully, do it softly, gently. Right. Yeah, because nothing else had worked. See, in that situation, peace didn't work. They tried all peaceful methods, and he said, I'm not even going to give an inch, even enough to cover a needle, that much land. And the future of the country required that. So in that situation, there was no other choice but to fight. Yeah. But at the same time, he said, don't hate them. You know, don't be angry with them. Don't hate them. Do it as a duty. It is my job to, just as there's a cancer in my leg, I don't hate my leg, but the cancer is going to affect my whole body and kill me. So I have to chop off my leg, I do it. You know, the surgeon does it. But even though it's part of me, I have to cut it off because it's a cancerous growth.
Most of the time, I mean, mm-hmm. Now and then it doesn't. But
true. Yeah, no, take your flu shot and then don't worry about it. And if it happens. No, that I do though. I always take a flu shot. You can't say I'm not going to take the flu shot and stay well. No, take the flu shot and then more chances are you won't get sick. And also I think if you're very stressed, if you're depressed or stressed, your immunity goes down. They have documented that. They have done studies on individuals. When they're depressed, there is a reduction in their immunity. They get more sick, they get more illnesses, even cancer. You know, your immunity to everything goes down. In depression, in stress. So, yeah. So be cheerful and positive thinking. That's very important. Thank you very much. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri.